Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Tata Chemicals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gavin Desa from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Margaret. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Tata Chemicals Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. R. Mukundan, the Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Nandakumar Tirumalai, the Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussions may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. I now invite Mr. Mukundan to begin proceedings of the call. Over to you, Mukundan.
Thanks, Gavin. Good morning and welcome everyone to our quarterly earnings call. I'm joined by my colleague, Mr. Nandakumar Tirumalai, CFO for today's call. I'll start with a discussion on key operational parameters across business and geographies, following which Nandu will walk you through the financial performance for this quarter. As you would have noticed, we started the year with a good all-round performance. Our businesses across geographies have done well. They've actually done a good work in terms of combating the inflationary pressure on them coming from input costs. While last quarter's growth and profitability has been driven by core business of soda ash, bicarb and salt, we do expect that this process will continue going forward in terms of momentum in the core business, even in the coming quarters. This is due to the continuing demand supply situation which we spoke about. We are keeping a close watch on market demand and continue to engage with customers, making sure that they are served well right through this period. The CapEx plan is progressing well, and we do expect commissioning of the capacities, part of the capacity for FY24, where capacity in salt and some capacity in soda ash should come on stream. As you are aware, the board has also cleared additional expansion of capacity within India, for which needed approvals are in the process of being moved forward. Now moving on to individual businesses geography-wise. The India soda ash business was strong for the quarter. This resulted in overall revenue growth of 34%. This reflects the market demand for soda ash, which was robust in terms of continued demand from both detergent glass and other sectors. Overall, I would say across geography, this trend has continued. New segments like solar and lithium carbonate are growing well. The U.S. business has delivered strong volume as well as demand. Export volume has moved in tandem with this same trend which is playing out everywhere. We have done a bit of shift in our contracting. Now, most export contracts are on quarterly basis, and this has set a new trend in terms of contracting approach, and we will continue to leverage this contracting approach. This has been the contracting approach in India, and I think we have moved to the same contracting approach for exports out of U.S. U.K. has performed well despite challenging among the most challenging external environment. They've also commissioned the carbon capture plant. The fundamental improvement in realization in conjunction with the cost increase, especially of the natural gas in U.K., has enabled the unit to move to a profit position from loss the corresponding quarter, previous quarter. The Magadi has done a solid performance. Business continues to benefit on account of buoyancy both in Indian and Asian market. All the contracts are now on quarterly basis, and this would continue to see good performance going forward as well. Salt business has been steady. The volumes grew by 2.5% over the same period last year. Additional growth will come once the capacities are commissioned towards the end of this fiscal year. In bicarb business has been doing well both in India and U.K. Overall, I would say all businesses have done well. The new businesses, while have seen revenue growth, I think a large part of their growth in silica is going to come when the new capacities are commissioned, for which we have moved for consent to establish to increase capacity 10x times from 5x times from where it is today. On Rallis, the business has delivered a strong top-line growth. The crop care segment had a good growth in both domestic and international business. There was a stress on dependency on China. We expect the margins to improve during the second half of this fiscal. Going on to the capex, I think this is going to be on schedule. We expect most of the commissioning of phase one to be done by the end of this fiscal year, and part of it will flow into FY24. As for the phase two expansion, is another 30% expansion and 40% expansion in bicarb and 5x expansion in silica. We have moved for approvals from regulatory quarters, and these will also start in terms of execution very shortly. To conclude, I'd like to state that core business are expected to perform well in the context of macro environment, where demand supply situation for the core product continues to be fairly good. And we should be able to combat the inflationary pressures we are facing, as we have done in the past current quarter. Rallis is expected to contribute, as we said, positively in terms of moving into performance of quarter H2 of this current year, when most of its capex program should be beginning to fruition. So overall, I would just simply say that we have had a benefit of the continued demand-supply market situation. Our teams have combated the inflation pressures well. So our focus is going to be continuing to focus on operational excellence and ensuring execution of growth capex is done on time and within schedule, and delivered so that we can start delivering to our customers. With these remarks, I'd like to invite Nandu to take us through the financial performance.
Thank you, Mukundan, and good morning, everyone. At the outset, I'm pleased to inform that we modified the investors' presentation to give more clarity, as you have seen yesterday. The investors' page of the website has also been modified to make it more user-friendly, and now it's got a better interface for the investors. We hope you like it, and we would like to have a feedback for further improvement. I'll talk about the headline numbers and then go into the each business. Starting with the financials for the quarter for the console, our revenues was at 3995 crores, a growth of 34% over last year's Q1. The growth was broad-based with all the businesses and geographies performing well. EBITDA for the quarter was at 1015 crores, 69% more than last year's Q1, driven in part by operating leverage and price revisions undertaken during the quarter to offset the rising input prices. EBITDA margin was 25% higher by 5% compared to last year's Q1. Moving on to individual businesses, starting with India, revenues for the quarter was 48% higher than last year. Soda ash volumes are now trending over pre-COVID levels, reflective of the strong demand from existing and new segments. A price as well as have been improved, partly due to the price hikes undertaken to offset the impact of rising input costs and reflecting the strong soda ash market. Salt volumes as well remained elevated during the quarter. Moving on to US, it was a good quarter with a growth of revenue of 34%. Domestic volumes remained stable. Pricing environment was strong, as well as in turn resulting in an EBITDA margin of 25% for the quarter, as against 21% for last year's Q1. As mentioned by Mukundan earlier, the pricing arrangements for export business is of shifting towards quarterly basis rather than annually, as was the case earlier, which in turn should drive the growth going forward. Coming to UK business, operating performance remains steady despite the challenging external environment on account of input costs. Q1 also witnessed the full benefit of carbon capture unit, which helped to negate some part of cost inflation. Overall volumes during the quarter remained relatively stable. The price actions taken to offset costs have led to a profit in the quarter of 49 crores as compared to an 18 crores loss in last year's Q1 in UK. As far as Kenya is concerned, Q1 witnessed yet another solid performance of our business, with revenue growing 84% and volumes remained flat. EBITDA margins have as well improved significantly and are at 49%. As far as AgriHealth is concerned, Q1 saw a good revenue growth driven primarily by the crop care business in both domestic and international businesses. Seed business, though continued, remained soft amidst challenging external environment. Growth in crop care business was both volume and value-driven. The company is working towards improving its product mix and is expected to deliver a better performance with regards to margins and profitability during the second half of the fiscal. Capital spending in the quarter was as per plans in all geographies. The company has also prepaid a debt of $30 million during the quarter in the U.S. on account of its cash accruals. With that, I close my comments and hand it over back to the moderator to open up for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We would also request participants to please limit your question to two at a time. Should you have a follow-up question, request you to rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a very good set of numbers. So first question is in terms of demand-related challenges. Given that the soda ash prices have been increasing continuously and we've been saying that there will be price environment likely to stay robust for the next 18 to 24 months, any segments which are vulnerable due to these continuously rising soda ash prices and any indications that we are getting from any of the geographies? Thank you.
Thank you, Rohit. Actually, we are continuing to see robust environment on demand. We are not seeing any major signs of any softening in any part of the geography. And as we mentioned, this broad trend, I'm not going to get into specific segmented issues, but the broad trend is likely to continue till about 25-26 because of the nature of the capex and the growth and additional volumes coming in. We are keeping a close watch on that. As far as customers are concerned, we are also keeping close watch on customers. We are not seeing any signs in terms of stresses. There could be few segments here or there which may be having stress because of some other reason, but not essentially because of issues related to soda ash situation. The most important place where I think the pricing and the stress may be felt first will be actually in UK and Europe, because that is where the gas prices, not just for us but also for our customers, is very high. It almost touched £5 per term last week. So we haven't seen any signs even in that geography of any change in terms of volume of offtake from our unit. Now, the issue fundamentally is that as far as Tata Chemicals is concerned, our capacity of 4.3 million ton, only 0.3 approximately is in Europe. So we are well protected because the balance 4 million ton approximately is in geographies which are fairly robust. In terms of our own energy part, India is mostly linked to coal and Indonesian coal, where we have a index link pricing. In US, 75% of our cost, energy cost, is in coal. 25% is in natural gas, but US natural gas equivalent, if you take what I mentioned as £5, is about it's $7 per decatherm, which obviously is about $0.7 per therm. So it's about one-sixth of where the European cost structure is. And Magadi also has HFO, but their energy intensity is very low, and they also have a hedging process. So all in all, we have ensured the company's contracting. While I mentioned about contracting on the purchase, the sales side to customers, we've also done a fairly robust work in terms of contracting on the input cost side, so that we can manage this pathway well. So all in all, I would say that we continue to remain staying very close to customers, listening to them, and ensuring they're served well, and at the same time staying very close to our supply chain partners to ensure that all of us can gear up in a very positive way. Thank you.
All right, sir. Got it. This was a really helpful explanation. So second question is in terms of the global demand-supply dynamics. We could just run us through in terms of where could be the incremental capacity or probably incremental volumes will come from if the global growth rate comes to 2 to 3%, wherein the soda ash usually tracks the global growth rate. Any geographies where the utilization levels can go up and that will throw us some volumes? Thank you.
So obviously, the two places where capacities have been announced, one is Inner Mongolia in China, and second is where probably some capacities could come on stream would be in US, where we have some units which have spare flywheel capacity which would come on, and all these capacities are slated to come on stream somewhere around 25-26, the Inner Mongolia as well as so while you would hear early dates, so some small part of the capacity can come on stream in US, so which is fundamentally capacities which have been which were mothballed could be brought on stream, but overall they are not going to move the needle in terms of the demand supply dynamics.
All right, sir, got it. This is very helpful. Thanks a lot and best of luck, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suman Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So my question is regarding US business, and we have seen a significant improvement YOY and also a QOQ in EBITDA per ton. So can you talk about the demand scenario of the neighboring country, when we are talking about the export of the from the US market to other geographies? So are we selling more to the LATAM market or nearing country where EBITDA per ton is higher for the US business? So can you talk about more the changing dynamics of the US business?
So as far as the US is concerned, our view is that as we said on exports, we have moved to quarterly contracts. So you would see the reflective number in US in terms of improved numbers every quarter on quarter as the current contract unwind into new set of contracts. That's on the export side, which is about 40-45% of the turnover. The domestic volume is fully contracted out, so that will see an change only by January of next year. So what you're going to see is a blended move. Export is going to continue to move up quarter on quarter, and domestic will remain flat till December, and that's the broad trend.
So we do not have a plan to move domestic sales also on quarterly basis?
Really speaking, our flexibility, because we are fully contracted out, their customer commitments, I think we will manage the best we can at the edges. But I think if you ask me, can you switch big numbers from one end to the other, I think we will not do that, because we are very clearly committed to our customer and our contracts, fulfilling our contracts.
Okay. So how we are going to manage for the price increase in the US market when we have a higher volatility in the raw material prices in the margin front?
Well, I didn't get, what did you mention?
So I am talking about when we have a annual contract for the US domestic market, when there is a higher volatility in the raw material prices, is there any price escalation with the customer?
See, I think in most places we already have what is known as an energy surcharge. If there is an increase which is beyond certain band, the energy surcharge kicks in as part of the contract. So that is a separate piece, and it is operative in UK as well as in US. So I would just leave it at that, and that's one way we protect ourselves. As far as US is concerned and UK is concerned, we also hedge and protect our energy on a ladder basis. So every quarter we sort of extend that coverage which we have. And US especially, as I mentioned to you, 70% of our energy is from coal, and really that is contracted out on a more or less on an annual basis.
Okay. And the last thing is talking about the price scenario. If there is a correction in the energy cost and we have seen some softness in the cost, do you think the market is going to take some price cut in the soda ash in the current scenario?
Let me give a blunt truth. I think as far as we are concerned, I think the current prices don't reflect even the reduced energy cost.
Current price?
Current prices which are there in the market, I think the way let's say if the energy prices remain at this level, the prices will have to move up further broadly.
Okay. So, if there will be a correction of 20-25% in the energy cost, we are going to decline. My question is we are going to reduce the, or market is going to reduce soda ash cost, assuming current demand supply scenario or not?
Okay, now it is clear what you're asking. So, see, broadly, I would say the pricing in this market is determined by demand supply situation. While there can be some linkage to energy cost side, but it is fairly dependent on the demand supply situation. So I would say that you cannot take a view that there's a linkage, except to the linkage of energy surcharge. I think there is no other major linkage. And this energy surcharge works on the contracts, not on open list price.
Okay. So in open space, if there be a correction, there is the higher chance the price is going to hold for the open market.
I won't make any statement except to say it depends on demand supply situation, and as of now, we see that to be fairly tight.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants, we would request you to please limit your questions to two at a time. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, and thanks so much for taking my questions. So just on the Kenya and the U.K. businesses, Kenya has reported almost 50% EBITDA margins this quarter, which is a very, very sharp increase in the last two quarters. So is this entirely driven only by higher realizations, or have there been some cost efficiencies out there as well? And how sustainable do you think such high margins are for that region? And on the U.K. business side, just wondering if it's possible to share some color on how much in terms of cost savings the new CCU unit might have contributed, carbon capture unit.
So I think firstly, as far as Kenya is concerned, their cost side for Kenya is probably our lowest cost unit in many ways. So when the market prices moves up, I think they tend to benefit disproportionately in terms of margin. So I think that benefit has come to them. And since the Asian markets where they serve, mostly India and Southeast Asia, I think these markets have moved up. Moved up in terms of the market realizations. I think that benefit has gone to them. So it is entirely dependent only on that. I think efficiencies, if at all, are fairly smaller proportion of the improvement which you're seeing at the EBITDA level. So I would put a greater, almost 90% of the benefit coming from the market dynamics. Second, as far as UK is concerned, I think it's very difficult to say what carbon capture has really given us benefit. Certainly, we are not buying for bicarbonate production. The CO2 from the gas supplier, it is now being internally produced. That certainly is a saving. But beyond that, I would not want to sort of give specific number at this point of time.
Got it, sir. And also just wanted to get your thoughts on two aspects. So one is any impact you see of the impending exit from ANSAC in the USA later this year. Would that be positive for the business on a net basis, or you see some disruption out there? And also secondly, the new carbon credits policy that's been floated in India going to come up in the next few years. How do you see that impacting the local market in terms of supply or demand?
Yeah, so I think firstly, as far as ANSAC transition is concerned, it's a very structured transition. While we will move out of ANZAC. There's a structured way the volume comes out of the ANZAC pool over a period of 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. So it is not going to be switching overnight from, you know, 40% of our output to out of ANZAC. It'll be in a manner that will be two-step changes. Secondly, we've already done our appointment of distributors and sales channel in key markets like Southeast Asia, as well as where we already had sales of our own other products, and in LATAM, which we have already opened up. So the teams are pretty much in place to deliver to that. We see this as a big positive because one of the things this provides us is a direct connect with customer, which we were lacking in the past. So to that extent, I think we will be able to serve our customers better and also engage with customers better for overall better quality as well as robustness of revenues. Because really, I think being in close connect with the customer improves the quality of revenues. That's all I would say as far as this transition out of ANZAC is concerned. I see it as a strategic move we wanted to make. And the timing is favoring us because any of these moves you make when the market conditions are tight, it is much easier to shift. So we've been fortunate that the timing came out to be correct. But leave the timing aside, I think this is the right move in terms of customer engagement. As far as the carbon issue in India is concerned, we are awaiting the mechanism. Already, as you know, there's a carbon tax in terms of sets on coal, which all of us pay. So it's a bit like a carbon tax. There is also renewable power commitment all of us have already made. There's a transition pathway. Every company has got to have certain percentage by wind and solar. If you don't, part of your energy is not part of that, you'll have to buy in the open market the certificates. So trading policy or whatever the government wants to come out comes in, we will be in a position to sort of engage with it. Already, our unit in Mithapur has started to look at alternate fuels and look at alternate options. This is part of our sustainability commitment. As you know, Tata Chemicals is signed for SBTi, and we do have a commitment to reduce 28% across the globe in terms of our carbon intensity and making sure that we move in that right direction.
Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhavan Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So I have a question on the demand supply front, sir. If I look at the current quarter, you know, the volume growth, I think YOY basis, it is almost the same, I think, marginally declined. Plus quarter on quarter also there is some decline. So you highlighted that the demand environment is robust. So if you can help us, you know, in terms of the demand supply situation, like the global capacity is roughly 75 million odd ton. So how is the demand supply situation right now? If you can help on this thing.
Yeah, so the demand supply situation is fairly, as I said, tight as of now. The issue which has happened this quarter is there were some plant shutdowns in some of the units, as well as there were some logistic challenges in getting the ships on time for export markets in some of the ports. I think that has led to this small marginal number, which is lower than before. But otherwise, I think we are more or less, we should be tracking as our capacities come on stream. We are literally running our units flat out at 100% utilization.
And global demand supply, I think in numbers, if you can help, I think that can give us some insight about the soda ash prices and one also in future.
Sorry, we couldn't hear you clearly. Can you repeat it?
I'm telling that, in numbers front, if you can help in terms of the global, the demand supply situation of soda ash. So, it can give us some insight, how can be the prices going forward. In terms of the numbers, if you can help, like, in the past phone call, you mentioned that there is some closure in the Chinese capacity also. So maybe 3-4 million ton, some excess demand or something like that. You mentioned in terms of the numbers. So if you can help on that front.
Yeah, in terms of broad demand supply, I think we should continue to see the demand continuing to be slightly stronger than the supply side because the market has bounced back to the original level of approximately about 60 million tons, and will continue to hold, continue to grow beyond this point, primarily driven by the demand coming off, coming from the solar glass as well as from lithium carbonate and other new segments which have started to also take soda ash in substantial quantities, and continuing steady demand uptake of other traditional segments which is chemicals and detergents and flat glass. So I would simply say that as of now, we continue to see, as I said, the major capacity additions to support the market are going to come on, it's going to take 2 to 3 years time to come on stream. They are of the announcements which are being made. Announcements are being made in Inner Mongolia. And certainly, there have been closures or shutdowns around the world, but the most recent one I would say has been in Europe, where French supplier has shut down. And whether it's temporary or or otherwise, we don't know. So we have to await what the situation is. So all I would say is that our analysis shows that the demand supply is fairly tight, at least going for towards next 18 to 24 months, even could be longer as 36 months.
Sure, sir. And my last one is on the power and fuel and freight cost. So we have seen some decline during this quarter. I mean, on QOQ basis, if we look at power and fuel was down by roughly 4% on QOQ basis, and freight was roughly increased by just 2%. As against, the realization growth on QOQ basis is very robust. So, if you can help on this front also, I mean, we have seen some higher cost on these two things also. So, how are we placed and what led to some savings on these two counters?
So I think broadly we have a process of contracting and hedging which is worked for us, and we continue to work on that. And our effort will be to continue to maintain our margin structure. That's what I can highlight. So it's a continuous process with the commercial team, both on supply side as well as the demand side, continue to work both for input as well as output.
Sure, sir. That's all for my section.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, since China is opening up post-lockdown, as in at least partially, is there any chance that more supply could come from China into the market? Because in general, usually it does happen. And there were news that 1 or 2 million tons of Chinese capacity in Qinghai region was facing some logistic challenges. So that supply was not coming into the market. So if you could just give us some idea on it.
Yeah, I think we had highlighted the last time also that China has Chinese exports have now more or less become very opportunistic, and at some point they were also net importers. So I think the Chinese the issue which the world of soda ash faced for last few years, if I go back 4 or 5 years, was a sudden Turkish capacity coming on stream. That has now been fully absorbed. So if you look at it in a big picture, I think the big picture is that every country exports a little bit, every country consumes mostly, and the big exporter has always been US because that's been the lowest cost producer. So in terms of the Chinese supplies into the world market have been more or less coming down or holding at a level which is not disruptive. The big disruption which happened has been the Turkish capacity, which has been fully absorbed, and this is why we are saying that at this point of time, it is going to be that our the markets are going to remain tight till any fresh capacity comes on. The announcements which have been made have been mostly in US and in Inner Mongolia, that's about what we understand about dynamics. In terms of most of the, like any country, most of the, even within China, there has been a pressure to sort of shut down subscale capacities because they are more carbon intensive, and I think that process will continue.
Okay, okay. Another question is more on the line of pricing. Just I want to know if say for example if there is more increase in pricing, say just because of energy cost increasing or raw material cost increase, would there be any some worry that at a higher price per kg the demand for the product might drop a bit or so, because at some point of time the buyers would also won't be able to pass on the pricing. So is there any worry that after this amount of price per kg there would be some demand drop due to non-viability of operating business?
In terms of cost pressure and the price movement and the impact on the customers, the area which I think we are watching closely is the European market, but our company's exposure is very low there. We have only, as I mentioned, 0.3 out of 4.3, around, less than 9 or 10% of our 9% of our volume is exposed in UK, that too not in Europe. So there, customers of soda ash are also facing high energy cost, and the soda ash also is facing high energy cost. I think the pressure point will be felt there first. So as I mentioned in one of the previous questions, the early signs of any demand or any pressure from pricing will actually come from Europe. As of now, we are not seeing any. As and when we see any, we will sort of adjust our process. But rest of the world, I think, is able to sort of manage the process fairly okay. That is where we are, as far as our understanding is concerned.
Thank you. I would request Ms. Iyer to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions, and also request participants to please limit your question to two at a time. The next question is from the line of Karthikeyan VK from Suyash Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just one question. What would your current supplies to the lithium carbonate segment be, and what is the outlook there?
We couldn't catch you very clearly. Can you repeat the question?
So I was asking you, the soda ash supplies to lithium carbonate segment, if at all, what would that currently be, and what is the outlook there?
So lithium carbonate, yeah. There's an overall spectral supply which is there, continues to be steady, and approximately 1 ton of lithium carbonate needs 2 tons of soda ash, and that is really what the demand from that sector is.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Trilok from Diamond Asia. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. Just want to check on two questions. One is, in the US, what's the export domestic mix, for this quarter, and what should be the mix for the full year? And second is, from a domestic pricing perspective, you haven't sort of seen any volume uptake, incremental demand pressure in the domestic market. Is that understanding correct? And do you think that demand will remain firm in the market?
Yeah. So I think as I mentioned, we haven't seen any pressure on demand, and in fact, we expect that to hold fairly well even going forward. And also, let me highlight one more thing that, as many would have observed, the energy cost and inflation pressures are actually reducing even on our customers. So I think that would be continued positive across the market. Your first question, US.
Yeah, so I was trying to understand the US split of domestic and export in terms of either percentage or volume.
I think it would vary slightly from quarter to quarter. More or less, I think it will be fluctuating between 45 to 50%. You can take an average of 48%. I mean, I'm just, depends on when a ship leaves, when a ship arrives and all that. But it's broadly, I think it is 45 to 50% every quarter.
Understood. Thank you very much and good luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor and Company. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. A small understanding, sir. Because, sir, you did mention that even if there is a correction in the input cost, the current prices of soda ash does not translate the effect of the entire energy cost pass through. So that is the correct understanding, that we are not expecting any reduction even on a reduction of input cost. This would be a good understanding of what you were trying to convey, sir.
Yeah, so let me, because when the question was asked, I was not very clear what the question, so you have phrased the question well, and I also answered when that question, previous question was rephrased again. The answer is like this, that certainly pricing of soda ash has some sort of input which comes in from cost structure. But the large portion of soda ash pricing comes from the demand supply situation of the product itself. So that drives the pricing. So, and since the demand supply situation continues to be tight, I was saying the movement in energy is not going to make a big shift in the movement in the pricing side. It is, I'm not saying it is not likely, I'm saying it's not, it should not in the normal circumstance. As far as energy is concerned, in markets where we are contracted out, which means we are on a fixed price contract to protect ourselves, we have actually put energy surcharge, which sort of moves in tandem between a collar and cap of energy. So if energy goes above a certain point, we increase the price. If it goes below collar, we pass on the benefit to customers. That is only meant for long-term contract, not for quarterly contract.
Correct, sir. Sir, now coming to your, in your presentation, we mentioned about 10,000 production laws at US. So that's a permanent law that has happened, or over a period of time with de-bottlenecking, you would be able to recoup the same?
It's just this quarter. I think we will end the, as far as we are concerned, we would more or less regain this going forward. Every quarter, certain, you know, every once in a while, we'll have to take some maintenance shutdown. But this is only for this quarter. Next quarter should see and then bounce back to old levels.
Okay. So for the full year, we will be making good for this 10,000 gaps.
We should be at least doing the volume we did last year, if not more. We are hopeful we'll do more.
Okay. Sir, coming to the last small clarification once again, our chairman did mention that we are looking to double our capacity from 4.3 to 7 point something in during the AGMs. So that, how much of that factors from the US, and what steps are we augmenting to increase the capacity at US, since our priorities are to first lower the debt, first to repay the debt. And also, sir, this time I think we have not mentioned the net debt number. If you could give some more color on these two aspects.
Yeah, as far as there are two different issues. One is the current debt on the books. As we had mentioned, we will continue to pay down that debt, both Kenya and US. Kenya should become debt-free in another 12 to 18 months. As far as US is concerned, we will continue to pay down debt at the rate of about $100 million per year, of which I think this quarter we have paid down $30 million. So every quarter between $20 to $30 million we'll keep paying down on a regular basis, so that we hit a figure of $100 million, so that the $300 million debt in US is down to zero in broadly 3 years' time. If we can accelerate, we'll accelerate it. Now, as to expansion, if we need to take fresh raise of capital in the form of debt, we will do that, but that will be a separate one linked to the expansion. And as we speak, all three sites are working for expansion to achieve that vision which has been set out between India, Kenya and US. We'll come back with specific numbers on each, what each site is going to do, but I can only say that all three sites are working to grow the volume.
Thank you. I would request Mr. Kapoor to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for this follow-up, sir. Just on the US export realizations, last quarter you had mentioned that you know, they are lagging a little bit behind pricing trends in the rest of the globe. So how has been the progress on that front, and you know, is there still some more distance to for them to catch up on?
Yeah, I think there is a, I believe the way the accounting enterprise, it works because of the way our contracts are structured. You will see a quarter lag as it keeps coming, which is why I said in US, we'll continue to see increases coming even going forward. That's the way the mechanism is. So between last quarter and this quarter, there was an improvement. We expect the improvement to continue.
Yes, well, thank you so much. And also just wanted to confirm the overall capacity addition number that was just mentioned on the call. So it's basically 4.3 million tons at the console level going to 7 million tons over a period of time, is it? If you could specify some rough time.
That's the vision. We'll come back with a specific number, where, what, and how. I think that is the work in progress. The teams are working. And I think our ambition is to grow across all three sites. And all three sites have potential to at least do substantially better or increase in volume, and the increase in capacity will be skewed more towards India. That's all I would say at this point.
Understood. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Tiwari from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I had a question regarding the demand supply. So, if you look at the cost of production through the natural route versus the synthetic routes, the natural route is like it has lesser cost of production. So just wanted to understand, is there any risk of more imports into India because most of the Indian capacities are based on synthetic route because of lower cost of production?
Yeah, so I think broadly, the way I would explain is that the natural route is more cost competitive than synthetic route, that is correct. But the synthetic, India has a unique location in the sense that the most competitive place with large volume for export is US, but the US is almost the other side of the world. So the cost of shipping and the cost of logistics you need to add, which is why the pricing in India is import parity pricing. So we do have our Indian prices are reflected. What will be the cost of the closest competitor shipping the material into India, including the logistics and freight and all that put together, port charges, everything put together. So India is competitive on its own, even though it is synthetic, because most of the natural sites are, I would say, have additional layer of logistic cost because they are the material comes in from US.
Thank you, sir. And are you seeing any slowdown in the domestic detergent industry with regards to demand for soda ash?
The domestic detergent industry has a bit of seasonality. I think that is not so monsoon, they do see a bit of lower offtake than post-monsoon. But all units are running flat out. All I can tell you is that there is no material in the market. So the industry itself has a bit of, I would say, slight softness during monsoon, and then again it increases. It is not that people are not washing their clothes during monsoon, but that is the way the trend is. I just want to say that's what we've seen from customers. Other segments are more or less steady. I think it is detergent with a slight lesser offtake during monsoon and more during the rest of the year.
Thank you, sir. And just last one question. So if we look at the demand contribution, globally, the glass industry is bigger than the detergent, while in India, it is the detergent bigger than glass. So if you can share, what would be the addressable opportunity in terms, if you can quantify the addressable opportunity of the glass industry towards the demand for soda ash in India?
We will come back to you. I think it's a good question. Glass in India is under-penetrated. And as a building material, as India builds more homes, India builds more office space, I think glass is going to grow. But we have a line of sight. It is going to grow at a rate which may be slightly higher than detergent, but also there's an auto sector. So overall, it's an opportunity for all of us. More importantly also, I think as packaging shifts to glass from plastic packaging for containers, that also is a growth opportunity going forward in line with sustainability. More importantly, I think India will also see investment in solar glass, which will see a major uptick going forward. because of the renewable energy and commitments Government of India has made in terms of shift to solar and wind and the renewable energy.
Thank you, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mithun Dhruva, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. So Tata Chemicals has been highlighting itself as a green chemistry company now. So in the old presentations, we have said that specialty chemicals will be around 50% going ahead. So any status on that? So what is the status like currently on that?
So as far as the specialty piece is concerned, our big arm of specialty is Rallis. Rallis has growth plan and growth ambition, which you would have heard, and they will continue to grow at a rate which, at least in crop care, I can say, a rate faster than the market growth, and that is what they intend to do. And when I say market growth, Indian market growth. In terms of the other two areas which we entered, the fermentation platform in terms of nutraceuticals, that as I mentioned already, we have to ensure the capacity utilization of current unit is fully achieved. That is what the focus is, by getting more customers and getting more customer approval. That's 5,000 tons. I think once it is done, we will look at optionality of exports and which direction to take the fermentation platform. As far as silica is concerned, we are today running at about 100% utilization in our tire grade line and almost close to 100% in our food grade line, which is why we have cleared the approval for expansion of that capacity 5x time. Once that comes on stream, I think it will take our specialty segment forward. But also, while we don't say this, bicarbonate is a specialty product. So is our sale of edible salt, because it specifically like specialty product with no fluctuation. It doesn't move in a commoditized sense. So while these are not really reported separately, when we made that statement, it included these two products also. Thank you.
Sir, just a follow-up question. So our chairman has said that
ladies and gentlemen, we lost the slide, so we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Himal Saraya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. I just have, I'm not clear because your slide didn't mention the net debt this time. What would be the net debt position as of the end of the quarter?
The net debt number is 4979 crores for end of June. 4979.
Okay, and just is it good to assume, because you said $20-25 million, so $75 million less plus some Kenya debt. Is there a number that you are looking for by the end of the year? If you do the math, around 4,000, is that a good number?
We don't talk about forward looking numbers here. So broadly, we're looking at debts being repaid, and you can assume a number based upon our normal cash projections and the debt repayment schedule. So we don't generally give numbers in terms of going forward on what the numbers would be.
Okay, so and absolutely final. Are there in India business and US business, are there any customers with which you do like a forward contract, like 3 months, 6 months? Maybe if you mentioned it and I missed it, my apologies. But if you can throw some light on that, would appreciate it.
Customers, or who's just coming in with customers?
Contract. Yeah.
In terms of the quarterly sales?
No, annual contract. Yeah, sorry. I think in US, the domestic domestic customers, which is about 50% of our revenue, is an annual contract with energy surcharge in place.
Okay, it's just in US, not in India at all, right?
India is mostly on quarterly. There are few on annual contract, but there's a reset. Some are on half yearly contract, and there are some resets and market adjustments which are put in place in terms of in those contracts also. But mostly rest of the world is on quarterly, right?
On quarterly, okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. And what I wanted to just end was to say that we continue to remain focused on our customer base, serving them well. Our strategy continues to be to grow the core and adjacencies, which we will continue to do. So really, it is going to be effort in terms of ensuring operational excellence to navigate this period of high inflation so that we can come out stronger on the other side. At the same time, put the growth CapEx on schedule and deliver on schedule on that. Thank you all, and see you next quarter.
Thank you. On behalf of Tata Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.